Welcome to Modcast, an official podcast of Politan Civilization site.
Walter Snyders.
Kenneth Herland.
Tony Keel.
Oscar Venzi.
With guest co-host John Palchek.
What episode is it now? I mean,
I think we're 10, right?
We're on 10 now?
Ooh, okay. Double digits.
Welcome to Modcast, episode 10. Today, for your listening pleasure, we are joined with Oscar Elohim Velzi.
Hello, everybody.
Kenneth Impaler WRG Ferlin.
Neil.
Me, Tony Garrett Zaka Keel. Today, with apparently 100% less Wouter. And today, we have a special guest co host, John JKP 1187 Palchek.
What up, my dogs?
Hello, everyone. Now, I know that when this episode makes it to the air, Mother's Day will be long past, but today is Mother's Day, it will be recorded, so you better be nice to your mom or wife or whatever, sister, aunt, be nice to them. Did you call your mom today, Ken?
Yeah.
Oh, likely story. What about you, Oscar?
No, today it's not Mother's Day here.
Yeah, remember, it's only an American holiday.
Really?
No, it's in many countries. But in Argentina, it's in October.
Yeah, every country, it's a federal thing, so they can put it on any day they want. It's really arbitrary.
Well, it's an arbitrary holiday to start with. It's just a consumerist holiday, which I call any holiday that you have to buy stuff for, but you don't get time off, a consumer holiday. All right, never mind.
And today in the code corner, we look at the AI autoplay mod by JDog5000, the enhanced city size mod by Mylon, and the Holy Wars mod by Kaelwick.
Today in the artist's sketchpad, we review the International Space Station by the Coyote.
Today in the modern spotlight, we talk with John Palchek, also known as JKP1187, about his next war mods, other weird things, and even some more other weird things.
Code Corner, where we discuss SDK and Python mods.
I'll need all of your addresses so that I can serve you with the restraining orders.
Oh, nice. It'll be an internet restraining order. You can't come within 500 feet of him on the net. Ken, today, this episode was made, it was basically, you've heard of fan service? Well, this is Ken's service.
Wait, why am I served by having to look through all this code?
Well, that's what you like, isn't it? I thought that's what you liked.
No, not now that I get paid for it, I hate to do it. It's like this guy went into the law because he loved the law, right?
Yeah, you know, that was it.
Let's start with the AI autoplay, JDog 5000. Really great mod. It's been around for quite a while. It's been incorporated into like about a gajillion different other mods. At the code level, it's pretty simple. In C++, there's a little boolean that tells the system whether you are an AI or a human. And whenever it's an AI player that's taking its turn, it runs through the AI code. If it's a human player, then it just waits for your physical inputs through the interface, yada yada. You click everything, you move it, etc. So what this will do, you hit Control-Shift-X, which activates Python, and that sends it into the ELL, and it temporarily switches control away from that boolean to just a counter, and you enter a number, and then for that number of turns, the AI system runs, and your civilization is controlled as if you were an AI player. So the AI is moving all your units exactly as it would, and then after that certain number of turns is over, whoop, control comes back to you. So what you actually see in the game is, I enter the thing, hit the enter, and then everything's just running around, and the little pop-ups are coming up, and the cities are being built, and you'll get through, 20, 30 turns in the early game in just, a minute or two.
How long does it take? I mean, do I need to Alt-F4 in the middle of it because it took 3 hours to run a game?
If you tried to set the thing for, 500 turns, yes, it would probably take quite a while for it to crunch through the whole thing. But just think of it as the same way as when you're, hitting the end turn over and over and over and over again. End turn, end turn, end turn, end turn, end turn. And in addition to the AIs being played, there's also just you. So there's one additional AI, and it's just the same as if you just hit Entone over and over again.
Well, you know what this is also kind of useful for? If you were able to, if they was made it really modular and easy to install into a mod, just for testing purposes, it's like a robot beta tester.
Oh, yes, and that's one of the biggest uses that it sees in other mods. Mm-hmm. People will put this into their code base, and actually, like I said, the code in C++ is very simple. He just found exactly the few places where he needed to go and change this variable. So we're talking like 10 lines of code in C++. It's actually, the download you have here has got a lot of complex Python that allows the, he's using the Elmer Jiggle event manager to activate it. And that's just to do, like, the control input, you know, the control shift X. Of course, I would have printed control shift AI. <You know. laughs> But, yeah, that's what activates it.
I think this one's cool. This one's really cool.
Yeah. This is JDog's most well-known mod, easily. He's also done a Revolution mod, which you were talking about. So I recommend everyone use this in their mod.
And I want you, Ken, to plug it into my mod so I can use it, because I have absolutely 100% zero code savvy, -5.
Well, have you already have C++ changes?
I'm actually making my mod right now where I stand with zero SDK, zero Python.
Okay, then you just drop his DLL in.
Oh.
And you're good to go. You'll have to use his Python too, but you can. Can you do the Python?
I am a code retard.
Code
tard.
Okay.
That might be the name for the episode right there.
He's even got really good instructions for how to merge it in if you are a code tard.
You know what? I've tried those instructions before. By people are like, okay, if you're stupid, click here. And then I read it, and I'm like, man, it still freaking crashes.
Well, you know what? I ran into that problem, because when I merged Revolution into Next War, and actually he had all of, and he actually includes this, the AI autoplay. It's got kind of a suite of mods that come with Revolution. So all that's included in the Next War mod. And I tried following his directions, and I got it to work, and, you know, God knows, the guy's 10 times smarter at coding than I'll ever be. But some of the directions were a little bit, it looked like he hadn't updated the directions in quite a while. Like, this was for the directions were actually for an earlier version that didn't have all of the features. In fact, there were some features that were deleted when I was trying to do it. So you do have to play around with it a little bit and kind of just use his directions as a guide and not necessarily a recipe.
Yeah, I think the directions are actually Elmer Jiggle's directions for the event manager. And
specifically, that was what I was trying to install into my mod a long time ago, was the Elmer Jiggle. Oh, that's a weird name.
Custom event manager.
Elmer Jiggle. Come on.
Dr. Elmer Jiggle.
I know. Okay, a doctor. Okay, doc. But, you know, Elmer Jiggle. That's almost as funny as Kenneth Furland.
That's what you think. Okay. Moving on.
Now, what do you want to do now?
The enhanced size cities by Mylon.
Ooh, okay.
A lot of you guys remember Mylon. He's kind of left the community from a while ago, I think.
Aww.
But he did one of the really very big early kitchen sink mods. I mean, he was really started kind of, even before Sevo.
The Mylon Mega Mod.
Yeah, the Mylon Mega Mod was the first Mega Mod.
Hey, Ken, it looks like here on his post, he's edited it on May 4th, 2008, so he's shown his face a little bit.
Yeah,
he's updated.
Yeah, but that was, I think that said 2007.
No. Look at the post, and then look at the edit thingy.
Oh, okay. Whatever. he's adding more cultural levels to a city, so that as your culture, you know, expands and levels up, you can work a larger number of plots. Now, we've seen some mods out there that did, like, a hard-coded increase of radius of 3, where this changes the working effect to match with the plots. I mean, go with the cultural levels.
Up to 3.
So as you get a certain cultural level, actually up to 4 of radius.
Ooh, that's pretty huge.
You can work increasingly more plots around your city. Now, I think this has actually been superseded by some more work that increases the limit to an unlimited number of radius, which is done by dynamically creating the offset. Because what there is an array in the game that determines where you can work. So it's this, say, a 4x4. Actually, for a 4 radius, you'd have a 9x9 grid.
Wow.
And, like, the 0 is in the middle. That's your city plot. And then it spirals out, the numbers going out. So up to 21, you know, you get, actually, up to index 20 is your normal fat cross, you know. and then you just add more and more spirals on top of that.
I've been playing Fall from Heaven 2 lately. I noticed that there's a wonder in his game that allows only one city in the whole world to go to a radius of 3. I wonder if he used this code.
He's probably used something along the same lines.
But I thought the wonder was weak because it's only one city and it's a world wonder, so that's it, you know. But this, I think, lets every single city, if you've got the culture, you know.
Yeah, I think he also added the ability for the cultural levels to give your city a bonus happiness and health. So it kind of helps them grow to that large size, too. It's only one or two happiness, but
it's okay. I mean, hey, if you got, I'm telling you though, if you've got the ability to get a city on the size of 3 or 4, it's going to totally change how you place your cities. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
And you'll pop right onto floodplains too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, actually, you can be a little more generous as to like, oh, I have to put it right on top of or right next to this resource in order to get it.
But, well, I would want all the stuff next to my city to be food, and then all the far off stuff to be mountains, or not mountains, but hills rather.
I mean, this kind of reminds me a little bit of, I mean, this is a cool mod, but it seems like I like the idea of including it only, like tying it to a specific wonder, a very expensive wonder, I might add, as opposed to just sort of letting it go for everybody. Because I'm remembering, going back to colonization here, I seem to remember when they originally designed it, they actually had the usual fat cross for the cities. But then, I guess in playtesting, they decided they had to get rid of that because basically you only needed one city and you could win the game. Because that is the way the city, like, you could just have one city and a bunch of colonies feeding it with resources, and you had enough to just basically romp over everybody with that.
Huh.
So that's why colonization city, it doesn't have a cross, it's just the 3x3 square.
Oh.
So I'm kind of thinking in that respect, that could be a problem, because Civ is kind of balanced for the usual fat cross, and if you're allowed to go beyond that, then it unbalances more than just one thing. It kind of, you know, you could do one city challenge all the time, I think, with that kind of thing, unless you started playing around with numbers and everything else, you know what I mean?
Well, if you get the AI to use it, then it might be slightly balanced, but it is going to shatter, I agree, it's going to shatter balance with a lot of aspects.
Well, the AI will use this because it goes by that same city index array, so when it sees, hey, how many plots can I work?
First.
It sees all of those extra plots.
All right.
It's not being denied any of these.
I don't know. That's the BTS AI, too. The BTS
a lot of codes
wrong.
That people write. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to adjust its city placement. That's probably the thing it's going to miss.
Oh, so they'll have overlapping radii.
But overlapping city radiuses are actually much better than most people, you know, think. It's like, oh, I never want to overlap my city at all. It's like, you know, but no, it's good. 3, 4
times. Yeah, and actually, that could actually help the AI, because it sounds like this mod would be a lot more forgiving for crappy city placement, which the AI tends to do on occasion.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, that was improved a lot in BTS.
Yeah.
Well, this is the absolute opposite of Civ 3, where if you didn't stack a city every other square, you know. Oh, I'm sorry, no one knows what I'm talking about because they didn't play Civ 3.
I tried to play that.
Think of a game, a Civ map, where you own 100 cities and you're paying the pain.
The pain. It's like Civ, except it sucks. Okay, got it.
Okay, and then you have the other link here, the Holy Wars mod here component. This is an SDK that's going to allow you to go into like a state of holy war that forces your civics, organized strength, blah, blah, blah. So I think the idea here is like you get all the members of one faction that's got the apostolic powers to go into like a holy war against the other civ, and it's like, it's kind of an interesting angle. And he uploaded the source code for it, because it's on an SDK. But and this is the guy is Calric. And I have to say, Calric, when you upload source code, only include the files you've modified, not the entire source code of Civilization.
Oh, you're cheesing.
Also, you can leave out Boost and Python and all of your compiled object files, so you don't create a 14 megabyte download.
Oh, come on, he's only got 81 posts, you're going to scare him away.
No, seriously. And please, for the love of God, don't use the external download sites that make me wait 10 minutes to download something.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah.
Now,
okay, yeah.
TFC appropriately limits the size of those uploads so that, you know, ginormous things like aren't clogging up their server. But if you would cut down the just the minimum necessary files, compress that, you'd have a very small download, and you can probably very easily get it up on CFC.
If not, just email.
Well, and even so, there's other third-party servers that don't make you wait 5 minutes. Because I was actually using the server he was using for a while, and then people just started yelling at me, you know, what, are you an idiot or something? Why are you using this? Use something else. And so I eventually just found a different one.
Well, back in the day when Civ had just come out, no one really modded it except for Civ 3. That's all there was those crappy things. I mean, I had, like, what was it, 3D Gamers or something like that. I don't know, Atomic Gamer, this one. That's all there was to get the big mods up on the internet, and then later they started opening up with the FTP and stuff. It wasn't until modding for Civ 4 got really popular.
And to his credit, he did put tags in.
When I was looking at this actually, it looks... a very interesting idea, you know, make the resolutions a little more complex, which, you know, for a rules variant is nice. I guess my only question is, I'm not sure exactly what some of this stuff does. Like in one of the from his description, he says, like, if a certain thing happens, then emissaries are recalled. I mean, what on earth does that mean? I mean, I wish he'd explain that a little more. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to actually sit and play the entire thing to get to the...
What is an emissary?
Well, yeah, that's a question. I mean, does he mean that you just, you know, you're forced to diplomatic silence for 20 turns, like as if you broke off trade relations with somebody? The other thing I was looking at here, you know, I guess I don't understand why there's a distinction between declare holy war and sanction holy war. I mean, it's like, it seems like one forces everybody to go to war with everybody who's not part of the AP's religion, and the other just makes it an option or something? I don't know. From a gameplay perspective, I don't understand why you'd want declare holy war because of how it kind of straitjackets the players into doing a certain thing.
It says relations with... I don't think this guy's English, but it says relations with no members are strained. So if you sanction it, but not declare... Yeah, it helps you with diplomacy, I guess.
Yeah, but it also... Under declare holy war, he also has the same thing. It says relations with no members are worse than if just at war.
Okay, I don't understand that. You're right, I don't understand.
So it sounds like in addition to the usual war penalty, you get an additional above and beyond holy war penalty, I guess. Which, I guess that kind of makes sense. But I just don't understand why you're making a sanctioned holy war versus regular declare holy war.
Well, it definitely needs to be cleaned up a little bit, but... This mod's going to be really useful for some of the medieval crusader era scenarios that get turned on.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly an interesting idea. I think in the development of BTS, people actually complained about some of the penalties and effects of the Apostolic Palace being too strong. They were toned down. And this looks like even stronger than I think what was ever proposed. Because this would really royally suck if the AI did to you. But it would be really fun to do it if you were the guy with the AP.
I just recently found out how to really exploit the Apostolic Palace. And even toned down, it's very exploitable. And it makes getting theology early on with your oracle a lot more useful, besides getting the medieval music right away. If you Apostolic Palace and you only have one religion city at each of your enemies, like you just put one missionary in and never again, they get to vote and they have to vote and participate, but they never get to choose what the resolution is. If you're the only one with the religion and you have a few little emissaries, they all have to stop trading with whoever. But they can never vote no and have anything actual stick. You see what I mean? Like, if you have a shitload of Buddhism and you have 200 votes, but there's only one Buddhist city in each of their civs, they have to participate, but they only get votes proportionate to how much religion they have.
Right.
So you can actually lock down the entire planet with that wonder.
I actually maybe it's because I suck as a player too, but I've never actually been able to get the entire world on board with the same religion in all the games that I play. And I actually, you know, it's not because I suck as a player, even though it's because I like playing with maps that have a lot of water on them, and tends to make it really difficult to get the missionaries over there before everyone switches up to theocracy, I guess.
It also helps on the difficulty level, because easier difficulty levels, I've noticed you can spread that crap a lot quicker.
Anyone else have any thoughts on that?
To pierce this awkward silence?
Artist Sketchpad, where we discuss graphics and artwork from the Civ modding community.
Today, we have some artwork. Now, it's been a code episode, so we only have one piece of artwork as opposed to four items for the code. I thought this one was cool. It's by our good friend, my good friend, for many years, the Coyote. I'm lying. He's not my friend. I don't know him. I don't know him. But the Coyote has been releasing a lot of units, and he made the International Space Station. As I don't know if it's a unit or an improvement, but it looks pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
It's a unit. Don't you see the screenshot?
Oh, it's basically a model without an animation.
Yes, and it's really jacked up high on the Z-axis.
That's right.
It's like, it moves around, it's a unit, and it's the International Space Station flying
it's like
high above.
With the ancient settlers, they're all. the screenshot shows it floating above the settlers.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, hey, grab that pretty hut, you know, with your space station.
Those are space settlers.
Yes. What you would actually do with a unit gameplay-wise like this?
I wouldn't use it as a unit.
You would use it like... Or, like, give it, like, a ridiculously high vision radius and, like, move it around to, like...
I would make it a wonder.
Scout everyone, I don't know. And make it unattackable. You definitely have to make it so that ground units can't attack it. I don't know how you would do that.
I'd almost say this is the kind of thing that has to be in a space mod of some kind. Because I don't know how well it can really integrate into Civ, even if you go into future eras. I mean, it's the whole satellite idea... Like even in Smack, they basically had to abstract the whole satellite idea when they used it. It was just, oh, well, here's a number on a screen. Okay, you have that many. Oh, here's a picture. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I use satellites. Yeah, I use a satellite in my mod.
Oh, do you really?
It's called Rods from the Gods, and it's basically a unblockable 100% damage. It's like a nuke bomber with infinite range.
But does it show up as a unit on the screen?
It does. Okay. It's an air unit, and you can move it about.
No.
But it's also a national unit. You can only build one.
Oh, okay.
Per Civ.
Yeah, I might have to play your mod.
Based on some horrible popular mechanics idea that we would put satellites in space, and like they would fire titanium or tungsten rods from orbit, they would just fall and gain so much kinetic energy, they would blow shit up.
Well, it would work. I mean, it's just horribly expensive to ship up 2-ton tungsten rods.
Yeah, so it's like, if you see an idea published in Popular Mechanics, it guarantees it will never actually happen.
this is for the better that there's no rods from the gods, but I think this would be a lot better if, it would be fairly low level to take that unit graphic and just snatch that model up and put it on a building graphic and then jack up the Z-axis and make it a wonder. So the wonder graphic would actually be the space station flying way above your city. That'd be kind of cool.
Okay. Yeah. That would look terrible in the Civilopedia. So you just open the Civilopedia and there's just nothing there.
Drained money from other science projects? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's like, minus 100 gold per turn. What's the benefit?
Gigantic
plus one happy face in Houston.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, I'm a big believer that the International Space Station is a ridiculous boondoggle. You'll get no disagreement with me there.
Well, that's true. I mean...
Most of our manned space flight program with this effect.
Hey, according to popular 60s science fiction movies, we should have floating cars and spacecraft going to the moon and living there. Like, I'm going to take a vacation, honey. Let's hop in our hover car and go to the moon. Now we have... And what we really have is no real space program to speak of and a bunch of large trash cans tied together with some solar
panels. We do have the iPhone.
They didn't even expect that. They didn't even see that coming. They're like, a phone that small? Fish-posh. I'm going to fly my spaceship to their house and not call them.
Seriously, how many polys does this model have? Because it is incredibly intricate.
He actually is... It's pretty nasty with polys, and that's why it probably should be a building.
On the skin.
The skin, how... Oh, 512.
Yeah, it's... Too much.
Yeah, hey, maybe he could poly it down a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
So it's 512 poly?
No, 512 skin. It's poly.
Yeah,
no.
Skin is very repetitive. I don't know if...
Well, it's pretty much only got like two colors on it, solar panel and aluminum.
Yeah, he could have optimized that.
So that is what the real space station would look like. So, hey, two colors, pretty much the whole unit, you know.
It's a nice model, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the model is like perfectly accurate to what the space station will look like when it's finally finished in 2037.
By then, its orbit will be decaying. They're like, we finished it, now we're going to crash it in the Pacific. lower those polys. I bet a lot of these panels are probably actually have thickness to them and stuff like that. That's probably...
I think the problem is these tubes. You see?
Oh, is it really round?
It's very round.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really, really round.
Yeah, that's a no-go. But
no, they have to be more square.
Well, you mean you're talking like a little module?
The rounder it is, Ken, you non-graphical person, the more it eats up everything, performance-wise.
Yes.
Because it's not actually a circle. It's like
good point.
Mega octagon-shaped thing. Like, you might imagine like a polygon with a million little sides.
It's a... Yes, it's a...
Man, let's all hug together. We'll all hug and hold hands. I'm sorry. Who said that? Who said that?
I'm sorry. I was asleep there. Did you say something?
No. I said nothing. I'm not crazy. You are. Shut up.
Well, but it's a nice model. But I think it has to be optimized.
Well, that gives you something to do over the weekend, Coyote. Get to work.
Modding Spotlight, where we interview and talk about modders and what they do in the Civ community.
John.
Yes, sir.
You are on the Modder Spotlight today, and what mod did you want to bring up, and what works have you been doing lately?
Well, I haven't had much time lately, unfortunately. Me and Mrs. JKP1187 are busy buying a house, but the ones I've worked on most recently were the Next War mods. That's JKP1187's Not Just Another Next War mod, and JKP's Next War Revolutions. Oh, and there's also one I just merged the first Next War mod with one of the 40 Civ mods, just because some people had asked for that. So I have those three. I mean, they're all variants of Next War, obviously. The one that's really different is the Revolutions one, which I've merged with JDog's Revolution mod, which some people have really thought was pretty good. I'm ashamed to admit it. I haven't really had enough time to sit down and play that one start to finish yet. It's pretty complicated at times because you have in addition to getting to the Next War stuff at the end, you have to worry about everything that Revolution has to offer, like the civs that split off from one another and civs that just rise out of barbarian empires and that kind of thing.
Well, I haven't played the Revolution mod either.
In addition to that, there's also a mod. It's more of a mod component. I mean, you can certainly play it as a mod. Is the events mod that I have, JKP1187's events. I'm obviously pretty arrogant because I keep putting my name in the title. That one.
Do you put them in the XML tags too?
What's that?
Do you put them in the XML tags too? I do that.
Sometimes
you
I do.
Spray your mark all over your code so the programmers smell it.
Well, that basically, I just want to make sure if something gets screwed up, people knew how to blame, I guess. I'm willing to take responsibility for it. The events mod is, just that. It's just a bunch of new random events I have. Everything from new pirates, pirate events, which just generate barbarian enemy ships, kind of like the regular barbarian random events do. There's that. There's a few other events that, there's another quest, the alternative energy one, which is keyed off of whether you building either hydro plants or nuclear plants and that kind of thing. Yeah. I tried to be a little creative with some of them. One of them, the industrial action is the one I named it. That one actually was inspired by a polycast from a little bit ago when I think it was Makalua was saying how she wished there was some sort of way to have, you know, police gun down striking revolutionaries in the streets or something. And so that one was inspired by that one, where there's a general strike called in one of your cities, and you have to decide how to deal with it, either give in to their demands or send in the dragoons.
Mm. What about those riot police units?
Sure.
Do you remember those riot police units? I think it was...
Requested that from, I think, Rabbit White a long time ago.
Yes, White Rabbit made those. Those would be great to take out the strikers. Plus 50% versus strikers.
is your event mod, was that made pre or post BTS?
That was post BTS, and that was
okay.
That was actually the thing that got me.
So you didn't use Elmer Jiggle or anything for your event?
No, in fact, the whole events mod is only possible because of Solver's events. The thread Solver started on CFC, where he basically explained how to do events and modding in XML and Python and that kind of thing. And honestly, before I started with either of these, I'd never done any programming
pretty much whatsoever. I mean, I messed around a little bit in XML. This and the next war is really what got me into it, actually.
Well, that's how modding sucks you in. How many events did you add to BTS, approximately?
Quite a few. I think something on the order of 25 or 30, something like that.
Good. I probably will have to Shanghai you sometime when I get my mod to its events phase, because I dread it. I've been wanting someone with good events experience to help me.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Woohoo!
I don't know. In terms of anything else to talk about, I guess actually Next War was the thing that really got me interested in it, because I had really been looking forward to the future era, so to speak, when BTS came out. And I was really, really disappointed initially when in the first version of BTS, you really couldn't play the epic game. You had to play their preset scenario. And the scenario is not bad, but if you tried to play the epic game, there were a lot of things. It wasn't a very seamless, transition, if you will, to the epic mod. And there were a few people on CFC that were doing various Next War variants, but they started throwing in a bunch of other things, and there's anything wrong with that, but that's not what
I
want.
Well, actually. Kitchen sink mods.
Bigger is always better.
Well, yeah, and that's actually my attitude, is I really didn't want to change too much. I just wanted regular straight-up Civ, except I wanted to play with a few extra technologies and a few extra units and that kind of thing, and sort of expand the game a little bit. And so my entire goal doing that initially was just, well, here's the way I think an epic mod should have been implemented. And I got rid of the Next War specific leaders and countries and everything, because those are
really Mr. Big.
am I the only one who thinks of that James Bond movie Live and Let Die whenever you see Mr. Big in that? I mean, that's just you know. Anyway, so that's really what got me into that, and I started digging into it, and it's kind of funny doing the Next War on a mod on a technical level was actually a lot easier than the events. Because really, Next War is actually a pretty simple mod at the end of the day. The hardest thing about developing Next War is actually figuring out what to do. And that's where I started running into trouble, and that's also kind of why I didn't want to change too much, because I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not a very smart person. And, you know, I don't know how to, I don't know how to make a game. I just, you know what I like. And so far, I'm relatively happy with where it ended up. The only thing I'm still kind of, why I'm still going back and forth about is the whole balancing of the turns and tech costs and culture costs and that kind of thing, because I decided to tack on an extra 25 turns. I think it's something like I added 5% more turns to all game speeds, and because I figured there were more technologies, so we better have more turns to play with them. But then that also leaves the question, well, how much should I adjust tech costs and culture costs and that kind of thing? And I'm not quite satisfied with where that ended up. And the problem is that's one of those things you can't really tell if you've done it right until you've played the game about 1,000 times. And you're like, oh, well, I see I ended up here statistically most of the time. So that means here's where the mean is. And that just takes a while to balance. So I'm definitely going to go back and rework that at some point. As for the events, I can always come up with more events ideas so that, whenever I actually have free time again and my wife lets me come and play with the computer again. I'm serious. I was like coming home from work and I was going straight here for like a month straight. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
The wife will put you on lockdown.
You know, but I definitely want to add some, like for instance, for the barbarian events, there's one, I added like two modern land barbarian events, the Mahdi army and the Taliban. And there have been some units that are created, like very, like someone actually, I think, created a Taliban, like a modern Taliban style unit on CFC, and I want to integrate that into
it. Taliban blow up your wonders.
Yeah, I want to create an event that just
giant Buddha statue.
I will blow up your granary.
Well, I just want to create an event that'll, instead of just, well, right now it just spawns a regular infantry unit, so I want to grab an actual, you know, here's a wild-eyed Taliban militant unit or something like that. And there's actually a French specific event also called the General's Putsch, which I kind of modeled on history. Yeah, putting that history degree to good use here. the attempted coup d'etat back in 61 during the Algerian War, and one of the events there will give you some free infantry if you choose the I forget which choice it is. But I figured that it would be cooler if they looked like French Foreign Legion units, and someone designed a French Foreign Legionnaire, and and then so I figured I could just add that in again if and when I ever get time to do that. And
of course,
you know, as much as I hate all things French, I have to admit the French Foreign Legion has always been in the back of my mind as kind of a alternative career path in case everything else fails.
The first question I wanted to ask you was, where do you live and what do you do?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm an attorney.
Wow, dude, are you serious?
Yeah, kinda.
I'm going to hit you up for some legal assistance pretty soon.
I don't know about that.
Come on, pro bono, let's do it. Modern to modern.
I'm not licensed to practice in the state of Arizona. That's where you're from, right?
I could take a plane trip.
Well, I admire your faith in my skill sight unseen. So I'm always willing to take money from a new client. So please come on up whenever you want.
Wait a minute. He never said anything about money.
Yeah, I want you to sue someone. Hey, give me some of it. We'll split it. I'll figure out who we're going to sue. I'll probably just take a plane trip to Pittsburgh and slip right as soon as I get there.
Pittsburgh's got a beautiful airport, I tell you what. Oh, no. Seriously, have you ever been to Pittsburgh Airport?
I'm trying to think if I've done a stopover there.
Because,
I might have.
Because here's the thing.
I don't even really know where Pittsburgh is.
It's in one of those states that are all crunched together.
Will you now denounce and reject Reverend Wright?
Sure.
Okay.
Denounce her. Rejected.
Will you also denounce CFC?
Well, they've actually denounced and rejected me. I haven't been able to get into CFC since they switched up their server. I'm using a proxy server just to look at their stuff from home.
Oh, I emailed Wood Elf, but I guess he hadn't emailed you back.
I was trying to log in today and noticed a problem. That might be the same problem.
How old are you?
How old am I?
How young are you?
How young am I? 34.
Oh, yeah, don't lie.
No, really, I am. I couldn't.
You had to think about it.
No, I almost said 33, but then I realized I had a birthday last year, so 34.
Yeah.
All right.
Have some.
These really aren't that. I mean, honestly, if this is the worst embarrassing question you ever asked, I mean, it's pretty weak, guys.
Okay, what are your favorite Civ games?
Civ genres.
Even other games outside.
What's
Civ?
Your favorite video game?
You mean like for the PC or anything or?
I don't know.
Okay. Okay,
of course, just for the PC. Everything else sucks.
I got to be honest. I've been playing the free games on NotDoppler.com an awful lot lately, and I hesitate to even mention these because they're free, and obviously if you don't pay for anything, it's no good. But they actually are pretty good. Like the Bloons Tower Defense, that's pretty good. And I played that an awful lot for a while until I beat it. But I really haven't played that many games lately. I certainly liked Galciv 2, but it...
That's a much more respectable answer than Tower Defense.
Yeah, I figured that. But
yeah.
But at least with Tower Defense, I have Soren Johnson on my side, I think. But
yeah.
But,
oh, we're getting into red zone here.
But no, the Galciv 2 was great. The problem was I just started getting into it just when BTS came out, and so when BTS came out, I've just devoted all my game-playing time to that. You know, I honestly, if I had to say my second favorite game of all time for the PC after this, it would probably be Alpha Centauri. I honestly can't go back to Alpha Centauri because I've just gotten... I just prefer the better... I mean, I got to be honest, BTS is an advance over Alpha Centauri. I mean, obviously, like everybody, wish they'd, you know, come up with something for that, you know, exactly.
Smack 2!
Exactly.
Smack 2!
You know, I don't... Other than that, I mean, Master of Orion 2, I actually played that, like, nonstop right before I took the bar exam, which was great. It was actually...
Masters of Orion 1 was better.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, see, you always say that, but I think 2 brought, you know, the graphics into this game, and of course 3, you know, made all of what we're saying irrelevant. Yeah.
One had a simplistic charm, which has never been eclipsed.
It was okay, but 2 was better, I think.
2 allowed was one of the first games that allowed the customization of your race, which had never been eclipsed.
A nice feature, but the massive micromanagement robbed it of much of its charm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, obviously you've never played Civ 3.
No.
No, he hasn't.
I haven't.
There you go.
None of the modcasts will admit to playing
Civ
3.
And then going back further than that, I'd say a little game called Hidden Agenda, written, I think, in the late 90s, or late 80s, early 90s, was pretty good. Balance of Power, of course.
Oh, yes.
Mm. And, President-elect, but only the 1988 edition.
Wasn't that also made by Stardock?
That was Strategic Simulation. That was written in BASIC, for my friend.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else, then.
SSI is a really old company.
Yeah. Like RDF 1985, you know, Norway 1985, back in the day. Anyway.
That means you're technically old, sir.
Yeah, see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Although I cannot run for president yet, so I have one more big barrier to go through.
Mm. Well, if you run for president, you remember me.
Dude, if I run for president, you're going to be protesting in the streets against me.
Not unless you pay me enough. Revolutionaries have pockets too, you know. All right, now that I've betrayed all my fans, let's move on.
Who are you going to vote in the next elections?
I already asked the political question. You're just copying me now.
Copy.
That's lame.
For president?
Yeah.
You know, here I have to digress a little bit, you know, because...
We're going to have to edit all this out.
Yeah, it's okay. All
I think we don't want to piss off too many
people. Yeah, we've already lost pretty much all of them.
Yeah, opinions. I don't think I really want to vote for a president. I actually want to vote for electors. Because at the end of the day, it's the electors that get the job done. I'd like to just pick like a couple of people and say, hey, you know what? We're going to run as electors. I don't know who I'm going to vote for yet, but I promise you that if we're elected, your electors, we're going to make a good choice for you. I'm going to study all the candidates and all the issues and just, you know, make a choice. So I want to vote for an independent elector, I think.
That's what our system already is, actually, technically. But the independent electors always already announce who they're going to vote for, and then you end up voting for the guys who are going to vote for someone else.
I want somebody who hasn't made up his mind yet. Because I think it could work.
So you basically want the original intent of the founders.
Yeah. Well, the original intent of the founders was to instill an aristocracy resistant to revolution. Oh, wait, sorry. No, never mind. So, what do you think your next project for video games will be, John?
For modding them? Or
it doesn't matter. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I'd say for modding, I definitely want to go back and do some more events. Somebody indicated there may actually be a problem with that industrial action event. I guess maybe something resets after a little bit. I haven't had a chance. I literally have not had a chance to even look at any code at all in about a month and a half now. So I need to go back there and see exactly what's happening with that. It may require an SDK mod to make it do exactly what I want it to do. And I do want to balance the Next War mod a little bit more. And really, I guess, I just see what happens from there. I really need to just sit down and play the game again, which I really haven't done for a while. So that's probably... That's probably what I'll end up doing. Hopefully the next patch will be up by then. Who knows?
Yeah. Can get to work. There's our patch coming up.
I keep on kicking Alex's butt to have him get that done, but, you know, he hasn't done it yet. Meanwhile, he's kicking my butt to get my shit done, you know? So, hey, it's a lot of butt kicking going on.
I'm also kind of holding off doing any more SDK mods just because I'm kind of waiting for the next patch to come out, which, you know, because then they'll save me from having to redo everything.
Yep.
You're doing C++ and Python modding, or just one?
Well, I guess a little of both. I mean, I had to do a little bit of C++ for the Next War because I wanted to... what was it I wanted to do there? Yeah, I just added something very minor, like an extra option on the startups, the custom game screen. Resource depletion, that's what it was. I wanted to give people an option to use the resource depletion or... to just play it straight, because some people liked it, some people didn't. But that's mostly Python mod. The SDK mod I did was just for the option. But most of it's Python.
It's enabled through the SDK, but then runs through Python?
Yes, that's exactly what happened. Because, like I said, not being too smart, I just sort of take whatever code people have already written and just sort of mold that to do what I want it to do. And there was already the resource depletion code in the Next War mod. So I just took that and ported it to my own Next War mods.
Yeah.
Well,
there's a tip for you. Try to get yourself some copy of Subversion you can download, free download.
Okay.
It's a really great thing for managing any kind of project. I used it a lot when I was still modding. Of course, you know, we have like professional tools over here, but it's still pretty awesome. See, Subversion and Tortoise SVN, you can back up if you screw your mod up, which happens a lot when you're getting into the code. It's like, it's crashing irrevocably, and I can't figure out why I need to go back and back up everything.
Hey, Ken, I got a tip for you. Why don't you go online and download some Shut Up?
Okay, that was too mean. I'm sorry.
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at The Polycast or email us at polycast@apolitan.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast, our sibling show Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.apolitan.net.
Yay!
Yay!
Now, today, Ken, I wanted to let you know that today you are truly blameless. Today it's Wouter. Wouter's a bad man. He's a bad, bad man.
But a good son.
But a good son. That's, yeah, because he's with his mama right now. He better be with his mama, not getting drunk like he did last week. See, I love it. We can talk as much smack about Wouter as we want. Yay! But it really sucks is I just realized this as I'm about to end the show.
I have succeeded then.
I'm not feeling very well right now.
Is it because you went to a salsa dance last night?
No, I went on Friday.
Yes, but in your crazy time zone, that could be months ago. I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty much. No, what causes you to be so sick?
Oh, something I ate last night. Some snacks and things like that.
Was it something you were supposed to eat, or was it like bits of glass and dirt lumps on the ground?
No, it was something that was hidden, and I don't want to share it with anyone. So I guess that the problem is guilt, because, okay, I'm going to eat this that is very tasty, and I'm not going to share it with anyone, and I'm going to hide it. So, well, I ate it alone, and now I feel bad.
Now, let me ask you this. Is this thing you ate, by any chance, part of the female anatomy?
Oh!
I wish.
Tony made the exact same thought, but I was like, how can I face this? Yeah, Tony beat me to it.
Great perverts think alike.
No.
That was awesome. This has been an awesome show. 100% less Wouter. Yeah. For once. He's been on every show.
100% full Ken.
100% full Ken, dude. This is a Ken. Today, this show is a temple to Ken-dom. I had fun. I'm having fun. Today, we have been joined with Oscar. Hello,
you know, him. We're not joined with people. We're joined by people.
We joined them. We our souls merged.
Like, who's presently attending this meeting? Were
we were joined with.
Yes, we joined and formed an archon.
We merged our spirits. We were joined with Oscar, Elohim, Velzy.
Goodbye, nature course.
Kenneth, Impaler WRG, Berlin.
Goodbye.
Me, Tony Garrett, Dr. Kale, goodbye. With special guest host, John, JKP, 1187, Palchek.
Yeah, that's right.
And today, with 100% less Wouter, we will see you guys again in a couple weeks. Goodbye.
Record date. May 11th, 2008. Sound clips copyright Civilization IV and the Warlords of Beyond the Sword expansion packs. Copyright 2008, Apolitan Civilization site at apolitan.net.